This is the Dumont Television Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Radio Dan Show with your host, it's me, Dan Delgado.
Radio Dan is not the brightest dude out there. I agree with you on that.
Yourself look like Radio Dan, and they can tell you what Radio Dan is going to say the next show because they already know what Radio Dan is going to say because they know the information. They know the information what Radio Dan is going to say before he says it.
I wanted to talk to Radio Dan, but he doesn't accept phone calls. I want to complain about that, first of all. So is it a radio show he wants to have or a chat room stuff? Because he spends way too much time entertaining people on the chat room than he does talking on the radio.
Next question to you. Do you know Radio Dan?
Radio Dan is right.
Radio Dan, he needs to get educated.
No. It was the Radio Dan Show. It's like one of the most popular radio shows ever.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. We are off to a stellar beginning here, in which I forgot to connect the show. Yeah, I did that. That's right. Good job on my part, by the way. Oh, yes, that's right. This is the Radio Dan Show. My name is Dan Delgado, and I am your host. And for the next hour or so, me and you and a dog named Boo will get to know each other by talking about movies and television and other life-altering issues. That's right. That's what we're doing here. And by the way, I'm doing it live. I do it five nights a week. I do it right here. I do it publicly at the home of the Radio Dan Show, which, in case you are not familiar with, happens to be Talk Radio X, home of Talk Radio Excellence. You know, like this show, and the one before me, and the one before it, and the one before that one, and then the one three shows ago, and then the other guy, and then those other people on the weekend. They're all wonderful. Yay, Talk Radio X. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, how about all of the wonderful stations that play this show? Yay for you, All Digital Radio Network. Hey, it's the 1500 AM. Cahoga Falls. Yay for you. Also, how about hello to the KJAG Radio, the No Agenda Radio, the Detour Talk in Knoxville, Tennessee. And last but not least, our pals hanging out at SoFlo Radio, which is in South Florida, which is where I happen to be, by the way. I am in Boca Raton. West Boca, y'all. West Boca represent. You know what I'm saying? That's right. West of the Turnpike, if you can handle it. Now, very important information is how to get in touch with the program, because I may touch a nerve tonight. I may touch a few nerves tonight, as I do on a frequent basis. And so what you're going to want to do is have some sort of a knee-jerk reaction and pick up a phone so you can yell at me. That's right. You want to do this. And here's how you do it. You pick up your phone and you dial 661-349-TALK. That number again is 661-349-8255. Don't be shy. Go ahead and give me a call. And honestly, tonight is a pretty good night to be calling in, because there's not much going on. It's Wednesday, it's the middle of the week, it's blah, 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 you know? Although I can tell you this, I have just gotten to breaking news in from our pal Packer, host of Ringside with Packer, who's watching the new version of Dallas, which is on television right now, and he says, first hour of Dallas, two thumbs up! Yeah! I should point out that I was not watching the first hour of the new version of Dallas. I don't know. I think that maybe Larry Hagman's aged appearance frightens me way too much in order to sit through it. Maybe. Also the fact that I really was never a Dallas fan to begin with. All right, so, but hey, good to know that somebody out there is enjoying that bit. Now, let's see, I'm just get stuff now floating in, people talking to each other. Look at that. Yeah. All right, I got to ignore this. I got to ignore this conversation that's now going on between Tyler, who won't get off the TRX line because, I don't know, he feels the need to watch The View with other people, you know, so he can share his thoughts. All right, now, instead of dwelling on that, I'll dwell on how you can get in touch with the program. Oh, sure. You want to be old school and use your princess phone and dial in at 661-349-TALK, fine. Do it. But if you want to be modern, if you want to be like one of the mods and one of the cool kids, well, then you're going to want to pay attention because everybody is calling in with Skype these days. Yeah, that's how you do it. And how do you call in with Skype? Well, that's easy enough. You look for the ID that I happen to be using, which is, of course, Talk Radio X. It's all pushed together. It's all one word. It's all right there for you. You get on the air, and it's free to get on the air, and you talk to me, and I talk back to you, and we have a nice time together. That's how that works, right? And the last but most important way, maybe, I don't know, you can go to the chat room if you want. Yep, do it. Don't be shy. Head on in there. Go to talkradiox.com. Hit the TRX chat button. And, you know, hang out with the two or three dudes who are in there on a nightly basis, such as Spook Central, Me 6501, Tyler Hollywood, Antibert, and a bunch of bots that hang out in there. There you go. That's it. That's the crew. Where are the ladies, by the way? I complain about this all the time, but it's only because I remember a time where I didn't have to complain about it, where I would look at the chat room and I would see 1, 2, 3 ladies hanging out in the chat room. And I would think, goodness, this is wonderful. What a chick magnet I've become. Well, maybe that's not exactly what I would think, but part of that is true. Anyway, so if you're listening live, what you really need to do is to head on over. TalkRadioX.com, TRX chat button, make up a cuckoo bananas handle, boom, there you go. Put yourself in there, and you're all fine and dandy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know exactly what it is I'm saying. So there you go. That's that. Now, if you want to get in touch with me off the show, you got to send me an email, which is dan@talkradiox.com. You've got to, follow me on Twitter, Radio Dan Show. Is the Twitter name. The Radio Dan Show on Facebook and wherever the hell else. Whatever it is that you're using, I'm probably there. There's probably some version of me there with the same logo that you see everywhere. That's outdated now, by the way. I think I got to take Jessica off that logo at some point. I've been lazy about doing that or reverting back to the old logo that I stole from NBC. I'm not sure. One of these things is going to happen. Or maybe it's time for a brand new logo altogether. I don't know. I know this. That woman is not on the show anymore. That's what I know. All right. So like I said, it's Wednesday night. And Wednesday night is generally the quietest night of the week here on the program. I don't have too much going on. I will probably bang out those gosh darn DVDs, which tend to elude me. I will, yeah, and then just talk about other movie newsy kind of crappy stuff that you're used to hearing here on the show. So that's what you're in for. So like I said, if you want to call in, it's a good night to do so. It's always a good night to call in. I don't want to go ahead and say, no, now is not a good time to call in. Anytime you want to call and talk to me, you do it. You call, you talk to me, I listen, and maybe I give back a little bit. That's what I do. I give back. So where do we begin tonight, though? That's the question. Let's see. We got a few things that I want to touch upon before I get out of here. Showtime is canceling Weeds right after its next season, which is season 8. Anytime TV shows get long in the tooth, you know, anytime you find out, oh, wow, it's been 8 years, it's just another reminder of how old you're getting. Because it's always one of those things where it's already, that's the attitude that I have. Wow, it's already been 8 years? Oh, man, I remember when this was just starting. We're to that point already. Oh, like this year, is going to be the last season of 30 Rock. And this is, I think, the sixth season that's coming up, I think. Sixth, or it's the seventh. It's one or the other. And, you know, that's a good long run for a TV show. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. And it's a good time to get the hell off the air. But it is one of those things where I think, man, this was just starting. This was still new. It's already that old, and it's done, and now it's out of the way. And honestly, I'm not even a big fan of Weeds. I only watched Weeds the one season that Albert Brooks was in a handful of episodes. And the only reason I watched those episodes was because Albert Brooks was in them. That's it. So, and I should say this. I did watch, he was in, I think, the first four seasons, whatever year that was. And I did watch the rest of that season, and I thought it was a good show. I was entertained. I thought it was funny and interesting. However, I didn't watch it again. Like, when it came back, it wasn't as though oh, thank goodness, Weeds is back on. Now I can get back and start hanging out with all my favorite characters again. That did not happen. But anyway, Weeds has had a very nice run of eight seasons. It's going to have done the rare thing that cable shows usually don't do, and that would be hit 100 episodes. The last episode of Weeds will be the series' 100th. Is that right? The final 13 episodes of Weeds, which begin airing July 1st, will include the series' 100th episode. Okay, so it's just somewhere in the 13. All right, fine. But yeah, usually you don't get that for the cable network shows, unless they're hanging around for years and years and years. That's because they only have those, you know, 13-episode seasons, those short seasons. You know, you got to stick around a while in order to get to 100 if that's what you're doing. So anyway, no more Nancy Botwin and all her pot, whatever it was that she was doing. All that stuff she's doing, it's all out the door. It's all over. That's what I'm trying to tell you here. Sorry about that. Weeds, I'm sorry that you got old. Speaking of getting old, by the way, I have found out. And this is not, this real. It's honestly, it is not news, okay? But I have found out that I am officially old. I am officially an old person. I am officially, really middle-aged, I guess, right? And it wasn't because I had a birthday and I crossed into some other age bracket. No. Today, I have received, and it was in email form, but I received my invitation for my 20th high school reunion. 20 years. Now, I've already known that it was 20 years. And trust me, I've been dreading 2012 since 1992, to be honest. Now it's here, and as soon as the clock turned back in January, I thought, oh boy, this is the year, and eventually I'm going to get that notice. It's going to happen. Somebody's going to send it to me, and they're going to say, hey, here you go. Hey, guess what? We're doing this wonderful thing. Get ready to see all your old friends again. Dog, it's going to be great. And I kind of think back to 2005, 7 years ago, when my brother Joe went to his 20th high school reunion, and he brought me with him. And I really don't know why. I kind of did not want to go, but I ended up going. Now, my brother Joe has and is to this day an extraordinarily youthful individual, full of energy, full of pep, full of vim, full of vigor. And he went to this reunion, and he was looking forward to it, and he saw everybody, and he mingled, and he had some drinks, and he hung out with people that he hadn't seen in a very long time, and it was all good. And then at the end, and it's the only time I have ever heard him say this to me. I've never heard him say this sentiment before. But as we were leaving, right, he started talking about all the people. And he said, wow, did you see all the people there? Yes, I did. Did you, you wouldn't think any of them were young, would you? I don't know. Well, I mean, none of those people look like they were like in their 20s or anything. They all, you know, they're almost 40 and they all look it. Yeah, I guess so. I feel, this is what I remember him in the car contemplatively saying, I feel so old. That's what I remember. And when he said it, it might have well have been punctuated. I feel so old. So old. Yes, yes, yes. And I thought, wow, this is really terrible. I think, thankfully, mine isn't for another 7 years. Well, that time has run out. Invitation has been sent. Invitation has been received. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And by the way, invitation is not being returned, in case anybody wants to know. I will not be RSVPing. I will not be attending. I don't really have an interest in going to such things. I bypassed on 10. It will be much easier for me to bypass on 20. I just don't like the fact that it exists. I don't like the fact that I'm getting invited to it. They should know. They should say, you know what? Anybody who didn't go to the 10-year reunion shouldn't be invited to the 20. Obviously, they don't want to participate. Obviously, that person is antisocial and some sort of a jerk. So let's not even bother to invite him along. Let's just go ahead and get the people in who want to be in. Do that. But, no. That's not the case. They went ahead and invited me anyway. Bunch of jerks. Anyway, where the hell was I? Really? Is that true? In the chat room, me 6501, I just missed my 40th high school reunion? Your 40th? Holy mazzoli. That's disturbing. 40. That's like a... That, man, that's longer than I've been alive. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry about that, me 6501. I love you, sir. You're a great guy. You're a fine, wonderful human being. However, goodness gracious. I'm going to try not to think about these things as I try to get through the rest of this program. Yeah. All right, so what have we got here? How about a movie that I'm interested in? How about a movie that I know that my brethren, Tyler Hollywood, who he hosts the show that's on before me, you know, the one with the fake bear and the one with all of the yelling and screaming about, I don't know, stuff, that show. Anyway, he will be interested in this movie as well. CBS Films has acquired the rights to the book Skyjack, The Hunt for D.B. Cooper, for Will Gluck to direct. Will Gluck, by the way, directed Friends with Benefits, starring Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis. And hey, as far as rom-coms go, that one was not bad. Mm-hmm, that's right. Anyway, let's see. What have we got going on here? The novel is an action comedy that follows the story of D.B. Cooper, who on November 24th, 1971, hijacked a Boeing 727, demanded $200,000 in parachutes, and jumped out over the Pacific Northwest. He was never caught and hailed as a folk hero. The book tracks his story from the perspectives of three different people claiming to be him. Gluck most recently co-wrote and produced Friends with Benefits, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. What is it about D.B. Cooper? What is it about this story? I don't know, but I absolutely love it. I love the idea of this mystery man who goes ahead and hijacks a plane and demands a bunch of... All he wants is a bunch of money and then to get away with it. That's it. He's not hijacking a plane because he wants to free some political prisoners or because he's got some sort of, cuckoo bananas agenda at hand. No, no, no. There's one agenda at hand for D.B. Cooper, and that is... Yes, that is moolah. That is to get paid. Good for you, D.B. Cooper. And any time somebody has one of those specials on and they analyze, well, who was D.B. Cooper? They never caught the guy. All they did, they did find some messed up money at some point, but that was about it. And he jumped, and it was cold. It was around Thanksgiving, and he's jumping out into, I think it's Oregon, and a bunch of trees, and there's nothing there, and a lot of people think that he died, and a lot of people think that he didn't die. And there have been several people who were on their deathbeds, always on the deathbeds, and I guess... If you're on your deathbed and you've led an unspectacular life, you might want to go ahead and leave some sort of a legacy. Maybe that will make you feel good as you pass on, as you merge with the infinite. However, this has happened several times where somebody's dying. Someone's dying of cancer, and they're old, and they tell, "Come here, my daughter. Let me tell you something. Come here, my humble wife. I have a secret that I must confess. I was D.B. Cooper. And now I'm dead." That's what's happened a number of times. Now, there have been... any time. Now, the History Channel likes to bust this story out from time to time and go over it and talk over the possibilities of who Cooper was, who he could be, who he might have been. I know that Tyler did an entire show about D.B. Cooper that I thought was very interesting. And this was a number of years ago, by the way. But these kinds of things, they stay with you. And, of course, there is the ridiculous but fun movie, The Pursuit of D.B. Cooper, which has no accuracy in it at all, with Treat Williams from, what, 1981, I want to say? Sometime around then. Anyway, all this D.B. Cooper stuff is good, fun times. And what I like about it is that he never hurt anybody, you know? He got his money. Sure. Did he inconvenience a bunch of people on a plane? Yes, sure he did. Did he inconvenience some police officers, some, I don't know, some pilots, some air traffic controllers? Sure, I guess he did all that. But in the end, my man got paid. Okay, maybe he ended up being a smudge in the ground that no one's ever found, but I choose to think that he did not. I choose to think that that D.B. Cooper, or Dan Cooper, just simply got away with it and lived out the rest of his life and spent his $200,000 and really enjoyed the hell out of himself. And we're talking about $200,000 1971. I would say that's about, I don't know, $1 billion today. Something along those lines. Moving on. Anyway, so the good news is, though, we're getting a new D.B. Cooper movie, and I hope it has some nice accuracy to it. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that it's going to point somewhere. I have a feeling we're going to get a bit of an ambiguous ending, where they say, "Oh, well, maybe it's this guy." You know, they may discredit two, or they may discredit all three characters in the film who are claiming to be him, but then at the end, they'll give you something that leaves the door open. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, look, he does have that hat. Maybe it is him. You know how they do those sorts of things. Skyjack. I look forward to it. Bring it on, CBS Films. And don't screw it up, by the way. Hollywood has a tendency to screw these things up. They're in the process of screwing up something right now. Maybe some of you zombie fans were excited about the whole World War Z production based on a big deal best-selling novel by Max Brooks. Brad Pitt, we all know by now, is starring in the World War Z production. But one thing that we've known is that, well, things haven't been going smoothly, and now the Hollywood Reporter put out a nice big article detailing all of the problems. And I mean, once you have the headline of Brad Pitt's Zombie Nightmare, because it's about zombies, by the way, that's the Z in the World War Z. Brad Pitt's Zombie Nightmare, inside the troubled World War Z production. Yeah, right there. You know it's bad. You know it's not good. Here's something that I guess I just did not realize. Was that Brad Pitt, not only starring in this movie, but he's producing it as well. And on top of being a producer on the movie, they were looking to make this into a trilogy. They were hoping that it would launch a franchise. Yes, it's a new zombie franchise. And you know, you do have your mainstream, big-budget zombie things here and there. But I don't know, you don't ever get anybody like Brad Pitt starring in a zombie movie, do we? Anyway, he was telling the Hollywood Reporter back in January, "Can we take this genre movie and use it as a Trojan horse for socio-political problems? And what would the effect on the world be if everything we knew was upside down and pulled out from under us? Okay, that's kind of interesting, I guess. I mean, is it going to be okay, like, well, Invasion of the Body Snatchers is really about communism. Is it going to be one of those kinds of things? I don't know. I guess that's interesting. Now, he also went ahead and said that the inspiration for it was the Towering Inferno, the iconic disaster epic, which, by the way, I cannot stand the Towering Inferno. And really, I love the movies from the 1970s. It may be one of our greatest decades for movies. However, one thing that I cannot stand about movies from the 1970s is the disaster film. Thank you, Airport. Thank you, Towering Inferno. I don't ever need to see any more of these movies where you get a bunch of famous people together and then you watch them all die horribly. No, thank you. I'm going to pass on this forever. I've seen the Towering Inferno once, and yes, there are some good things about it. Yes, it has a cast that really, when you think about it, is very, very hard to beat the Towering Inferno cast. I mean, I go at you with Paul Newman, and then I raise the stakes with Steve McQueen. By that time, I mean, geez, do I even need to bring in William Holden or Faye Dunaway or Robert Wagner or O.J. Simpson? I don't think so. That's how good we are. We're so good that I can stop after McQueen. And in case you need a little extra, bam, there's some Billy Holden. Now, that aside, don't care for that movie. It's depressing, and it's not any fun. You know, they always kind of try to make it seem like it's some sort of adventure. Oh, yes, the adventure of the Towering Inferno. Who will survive? Ugh. No. Don't need it. Take it away. So if that's your inspiration, maybe therein lies the problem. Granted, that's my opinion of freaking Towering Inferno, and everybody else's opinion was obviously different since it made $1 billion back in 1974. Anyway, so here we have World War Z, which is going along, and I guess everything's moving okay, at least initially. Oh, hang on a second here. Because before I get back to telling you about the disaster that is World War Z, we must go ahead and talk to World War A, which is, of course, Mr. Antebert.
Hello, Radio Dan.
Hello, sir. What can I do for you?
I tend to agree with you about the disaster movies.
Okay.
But just remember, without the Poseidon Adventure, which I think is a disaster movie...
It's unquestionably a disaster movie.
Would we ever have the song... There's got to be a morning after.
I tell you what, you can take that song and erase it from memory if I can erase the experience of watching the Poseidon Adventure out of my brain. I would do that. I would go Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on the Poseidon Adventure if I could.
You mean there's not even a little part of you that enjoys seeing Shelley Winters fall into the skylight upside down?
Oh my God! No, it's horrible, it's beyond horrible. And then that is the worst one. I think that's the one that really makes me hate these movies, because for all of the horror that we go through, right? And it's just horror. Everybody's dying. You've got a big group of people that are all moving through the boat, right? Everybody's moving together except for Leslie Nielsen, who stayed behind in the ballroom and got swept away. So everybody's getting picked off one by one. Something terrible's happening. And then we get to the end, and we know, oh, finally, we're at the end. Good. And Gene Hackman, who's a preacher, who's just the best guy ever, right? They're walking along that stupid catwalk, and then some pipe has to burst, and the big steam is coming through, and no one can pass. And the only way to get through is to turn some wheel. That's off, you know, it's now just floating in space because everything's upside down. So Hackman has to jump over to it, turn the wheel, and now he can't get back. And we just have to sit and watch him hold on and hold on. Oh, and then he drops and dies. Oh, it's awful. There's no joy. It is so terrible. It's masochistic. It's just how depressing does that sound? You know.
Well, was that the first? I mean, what started it? Was it that, and then later came Earthquake and Towering Inferno, or which one came first?
I believe the first one that's considered you know to kick it off is Airport.
Oh, right.
And Airport's pretty mild. You know, it's not like a bunch of people are dying in Airport. You got the whole bomber thing going on, but you know, everybody the plane ends up being okay. But then, you know,
that's what Hollywood does. I mean, if it's not one, you could say the same thing about these torture porn movies. You know,
I hate them too.
Right, but something clicks for some unknown reason, and then there just has to be like a bunch of movies with the same feel and the same kind of premise.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that worked. Let's do it again. You know, that's the whole thing. That's the whole voting with your dollars theory. Everybody saw Airport. Airport was nominated. I want to say it was up for Best Picture. It was certainly up for Best Picture for Golden Globes. That's for sure. And think about that freaking Airport. Come on, get out of here. But you know that does well. And next thing you know, the rest of that decade, you know, it's a bunch of celebrities dying all the time. You know, you have to get Airport. Okay, fine. But do I need Airport 75 and 77 and 79, the Concorde?
Ugh. No, but I mean, without Airport, would we have the Airplane series?
Probably not. I'll take Airport if it gives me Airplane. That's fine. Although, you know that most of Airplane is based on a movie called Zero Hour. Have you ever seen that?
Sounds familiar. I don't remember it offhand.
All right, it's from the 50s, and it's not really well known, right? But if you watch it, that movie is really where Airplane comes from, because it's almost like you're watching a serious version of Airplane, because everything is in there. All the same stuff.
Really, the nun with the guitar?
Well, okay, maybe not all that wacky stuff. But it's like, okay, let's... It's like someone said, all right, let's do the opposite of it. Let's do what Airplane did, but let's do it in reverse. Same friggin' thing. Great stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, you're very lucky, and I'm very lucky, that they hadn't decided to revive these, really, have they?
You know, there's always a period where something like that happens. I mean, think about stuff like, you know, we had Dante's Peak with the volcano, and then we had Volcano. And we had Deep Impact, and you had
Twister.
Yep. Okay, that works. And you know, this was all the late '90s, so it was as though the disaster movie was coming back. Armageddon.
Could you go as far as to say Independence Day?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it takes a little more of an action movie spin on it, but yeah, definitely. I mean, they're blowing up all the cities of the world in that movie, you know.
And it is a group of famous people who, you know, you're following their stories.
Yeah, yeah. And except, you know, I think for most of those stories, for the most part, everybody lives in most of those movies. But yeah.
Right.
And I remember when that was happening, I was like, oh, man, I don't like this. I feel this trend coming back, this disaster movie trend. You know, and I guess it takes, what, like 25 years for stuff to come back, you know? That was about right. It was the mid to late '90s. So,
who made all those? Irwin Allen.
Yes, sir. Irwin Allen. Mm-hmm.
You know what? If Irwin Allen, I don't think he's alive anymore.
No, he's not. He's long gone.
But what if, like, you know, his the heir to his estate says, you know, we're gonna make a new Poseidon adventure. We're gonna call it the USS Poseidon. It's not really a prequel, but it exists in the same universe.
It exists. That's pretty funny. You know what's funny about that, though, now that I think about it, there was a remake of the Poseidon Adventure, what, 5 years ago? That's how
well, say it isn't so, Dan.
Oh, that's how well it did, is that you don't recall. It came, I want to say 2006 it came out, and it starred Kurt Russell, and it had, I know Richard Dreyfuss was. I did not see this, by the way. Because there was no way I was going through that again. But
that must have been banking on the success of the Titanic.
I guess so. Yeah, it was around, I'm going to say 2006, maybe 2005 it comes out. And I know, I'm pretty sure it was a May release, and it did not do well at all. But it was, you know, it was, hey, this is big budget, big deal Hollywood thing that we're throwing at you. And people said, no, we don't want to see that. We don't want to go through
did
that.
Did you see what the Titanic did? Don't we have any properties with a sinking ship? Well, we do have the Poseidon event. Remake it!
Yeah. Yeah, it was just called Poseidon. There was no adventure involved here.
Well, who played the Shelley Winters part? Rosie O'Donnell?
I don't know. I don't think it was a straight remake. I don't think it had the exact same characters in there. I think they probably changed all of that up.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Radio Dan. As always, very informative.
All right. Well, thanks for calling there, Edward. Talk to you later, pal. Bye. Disaster movie talk all night long right here on the Radio Dan Show. We talk about it all. Beyond the Poseidon Adventure. When Time Ran Out. You name it, we're talking about it. Anyway, what was my point? Before that walk down memory lane. And by the way, I've had that conversation with so many people before about the disaster movie. I'll have it again. Just think, maybe had the time tunnel worked out, Irwin Allen would have just stayed in television and not bombarded us by killing everybody all of the time. Has anybody ever thought about that? What does James Darren have to say about this? I'm sorry. Moving on. Back to World War Z. That's right. So, Brad Pitt goes ahead and he brings in a director, and for some reason, Mark Forster's the guy. Okay, we want to have a giant... Oh, boy. Hang on. Here comes Corey from Milwaukee.
Yay!
What's up, buddy?
Ooga!
Ah, Ooga. Okay. What is this, the Live Test Show?
Dan, I wasn't calling to speak to you. I was calling to speak to Antibird.
Oh, okay. Well, Antibird, go right ahead and speak to Corey. Oh, that's right. He's not here. Because it's not 7 to 8.
You waited all day to use that sound effect, didn't you, Dan? Down, got out.
It every so often a situation comes up, and I say, oh, I've got a sound effect for this. I need to take time and set it up. Oh, yes. That finally.
Herb, that was good. Yeah. That was good. Finally, you fight back. I like when you fight back. Yes, yeah.
The crickets can be used. I'll unleash the crickets.
Well, you have a good weekend, okay? I know you're off tomorrow.
That's
or
correct.
Friday.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I am.
All right. All right. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye, Corey.
Oh, not you. I love Antibird.
What? If somebody wanted to just isolate the minute and a half that call was, it would just seem awfully bizarre. It really would. Okay. So where was I? World War Z. I'm trying to tell you what a disaster this disaster movie is turning out to be. Where Brad Pitt hires Mark Forster to direct the movie. And if you're going to hire a guy to direct a zombie movie, who better than the person who gave you The Kite Runner and Finding Neverland? Oh, wait, that's right. Those aren't disaster-y, action-y, tentpole-type movies. Yes, you could come back to me and say, wait a minute, Dan. Mark Forster directed Quantum of Solace, a big deal, big-budget James Bond movie. But yes, it was also... A movie that everybody was looking forward to and then was disappointed by. So keep that in mind. Anyway, here's what I'll tell you. The movie has a price tag now over $170 million and apparently needs as many as five weeks of reshoots. Which, by the way, they can't even start those until September because people are busy and they've got to get things planned. So you see, here's what they realized. They made the movie, and then they watched it, and they said, okay, it's not good. This movie kind of stinks. Oh, no. That's a terrible thing. What are we going to do? Well, here's what they're going to do. We're going to rework the entire third act of the movie. That's what we'll do. We're going to bring in Damon Lindelof. Everybody likes to bring that guy in all of a sudden. Guy who was one of the writers of Lost, but he also just wrote Prometheus, by the way. And yes, yes, Prometheus has critical praise and has box office gold, but also has a negative review from me. So there. So he can't be all that good. But anyway, they've brought him in to rework the entire third act. And then they had to take the movie and push it. It was going to go from, June of all the way back to December? June of next year to December of next year? Ay, ay, ay. I don't know. Apparently, though, one of the major problems that they had, here's how you know your zombie movie is in trouble, is that just before they had started shooting, they had not made the decision of whether these were going to be fast-moving zombies or slow-moving zombies. Well, I guess that debate, it just raged on, you know? It just raged on the entire time. What are we going to do? Well, we could have Mark Forster, we could have the zombies. They could run very fast, and it would be very difficult for all of the characters out there. It would be a very difficult thing for them to get away, and that provides some excitement. Gee, that sounds like a good idea. Well, we could have the slow-moving ones, though. And those are traditional zombies. Everybody's used to the slow-moving zombies. And it seems easy to kill one or two of them, but then once you get a lot, then it becomes a big problem. That's a good idea, too. You know? And then he just sat there and thought about it over and over again. And honestly, I don't know what they decided on. What did they go up with? I don't know. I guess I'll have to see the movie. But World War Z is one of several recent projects that underscore the risks associated with big effects films, especially when untested directors are involved. Disney saw blah blah first-time director Andrew Stanton's John Carter movie bomb in March. We all know that. We all know that Universal has problems. Not with Battleship, but apparently with the $175 to $200 million Keanu Reeves samurai movie, 47 Ronin. Holy cow. Did you spend that much money on a Keanu Reeves samurai movie? On purpose? Probably not on purpose. Probably not. I don't know how these people get into these ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous situations with all of this money. How is $170 million not enough to make a movie? I don't understand that. It honestly, truly, truly baffles me. Now, for example, also going on right now is The Lone Ranger. They're filming that. Now, we talked about this. I talked about this. Before they were making this movie, right? They had come with the budget here, and this, if you're not familiar, The Lone Ranger is going to be a tentpole movie that comes out next summer. It stars Johnny Depp as Tonto, very good, and Armie Hammer as The Lone Ranger, and it's being directed by Gore Verbinski, it's being produced by Jerry Bruckheimer, and, well, of course, they brought you those Pirates of the Caribbean movies, so sure, why not? Okay. Fine, well, and good. They came up with a budget for their Lone Ranger movie that they wanted to make. And that budget is $250 million. And that's for a Western, by the way. Did I mention it's the Lone Ranger? That it's a Western? $250 million? This kind of fiscal ridiculousness? Eventually, Disney, who's making the movie, said, no, wait a minute. What are we doing? Are we spending this much on a Western? No. If you want to make this, and we want to make this with you, you have to pare that budget back. You got to scale it back, my friends. So Johnny Depp and Gore Verbinski and Jerry Bruckheimer, they all put their heads together, and then they pared back the budget to $215 million. This, by the way, is also completely cuckoo bananas to me. 215? Okay, great. Yes, I'm glad you're saving the $35 million, but you're not really getting into where you should be with a Western. Even if you do have big budget, big deal special effects, and you're paying out Johnny Depp, and you're paying out Gore Verbinski, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, they go with the 215, and that movie gets underway. And they're filming it, and everything's all well and good. But I guess Gore Verbinski has a propensity to just go way over budget. So the word is, and it's an inside word, and it's an unofficial word, is that the Lone Ranger, yeah, they actually spent the 250 on it. 250. Yes, yes, yes. And of course, and it's for ridiculous reasons. It's for ridiculous reasons. Apparently, for example, they could have taken a train is going to be integral to the plot. I don't know. Maybe somebody's robbing a train, something along these lines. A train's involved. Let's just put it that way. So, here's what we could do. We could go ahead and take a train that's already exists and refit it and make it look like a period train. Right? That would be great. Nah, let's not do that. Let's just build our own period trains. It's Disney's money anyway. This is absolutely insane. Now, I can tell you this. Unlike World War Z, in which we know the movie probably stinks. I don't want to tell you it stinks, having not actually seen it myself. I don't want to go ahead and toss that at you and say, yeah, this movie's crap. I don't know. I just know what I've read and what I've heard. And what I've read is that people who have seen it have said, yes, this is not very good. I also know that if you're redoing the third act of your movie, it's because it's probably not any good. So that would be my guess right there. Okay. Now, with that in mind, right? With that in mind, as far as The Lone Ranger goes, that movie's just over budget because they like to spend a lot of money. That movie allegedly looks good. The word there is that the footage from the film looks fantastic. But, oh, I'm sorry. No. Sorry. Reading the wrong quote. Apologize. That Verbinski has a chance to do for Westerns what he did for pirate movies, make the genre popular internationally. Wow, is that right? Yeah, so both movies wildly over budget and out of control. One of them got some problems. The other one, whatever. So we spent a lot of money. I don't know if you realize this, but if a movie spends, whatever a movie spends, generally you need to make, like, if you spend $250 million on a movie, right? You can't make $251 million and call that a profit. It doesn't work that way. You need to make about 75% over what you spent. You got to get back 175% if you want to consider that a success. So, you know, if you're spending $250 million, you need to get, I don't know, what, $450 back? That's a lot. No guarantee on that. No guarantee on The Lone Ranger. And yes, you are correct, JJ Big Dog, who's in the chat room. It is a quiet chat room. I don't know what's going on in there. And really, more people need to start yip-yapping. That's what I say. Well, make with the talk, people. So anyway, that's that. Now with a few minutes left. Oh, wait a minute. How could I forget this story? How could I forget this? Ethan Hawke, granted, not my favorite person in the world, but Ethan Hawke says that a Before Sunset follow-up shoots this summer. Really? It seems a little early to me. Was it Before Sunset in 2004? I don't know. Does everybody like these movies? There was Before Sunrise with him and Julie Delpy walking around Vienna all night long. And then they part at the end. Ah. And then, 9 years later, we had Before Sunset. And there they are walking around Paris. And they're talking endlessly. And slightly different ending. So, I guess the idea is we're going to hook up with these characters every 10 years and see where they are. And these are pretty low-budget movies. All they do is talk the entire time. I will tell you that I love Before Sunrise. I really do. I haven't seen it in a while, but I guess it was one of those things that, you know, when it came out, I think I was 21 years old. It's 1995, and it was a little movie, and I really loved, you know, all of the little indie type movies that were running around at the time. So I really took to it. Before Sunset, I liked as well, and it had a nice, great ending to it, which helps out. But here we are, we're going for our third go-round, and just like the idea that I got an invitation to my 20th high school reunion today, I don't know that I want a third go-round here. I don't know that I want to watch these two characters just be old. Now, here they're just going to be, I guess, middle-aged. They're going to be in their early 40s, but nonetheless, I don't need this. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good, I guess. I'm sure they'll talk. We'll find out all kinds of things that they'll be taught. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, where the hell was I? I don't know what's going on, but there's Bill and Ted talk in the chat room. That's great. All right, real quick, we will do a DVD list. We will talk about some of your choices that are out on DVD this week, whether it's good for you or whether it's not. For example, Sherlock Holmes' Book of Shadows, which I thought was pretty good. And I saw it when I was really sleepy. I don't know if anyone's done this. You go to see a movie, and it's a little late at night, and then you realize, oh, I'm too sleepy to be watching a movie. But I stayed awake the entire time, and I was interested the entire time. In fact, I'd kind of like to see it again, because I think I'd you know, enjoy it more. So that's out. Kick that on Blu-ray. Sure, why not? Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance is also out on Blu-ray. I heard this is crap. It looks like crap. I don't doubt it's crap. Thin Ice. Here we go. You got your Greg Kinnear and your Alan Arkin. And a little bit of a different movie. And it has an ending that I did not see coming at all. I remember liking this when it came out. And I do know that nobody else saw it when it came out as well. But Thin Ice is pretty good. Good to see that's out on DVD this week. What else have we got? Shallow Grave gets the Criterion Edition. You know what? I really liked this movie, but I only saw it the one time. You know, you get your nice young Ewan McGregor and back when he was hanging out with Danny Boyle. Sure, go ahead, check that out. No problems there. Your Lethal Weapon collection is out on Blu-ray. Because you need to have all four of those movies. Especially that last one with Chris Rock. Don't forget that. Also out is the Spider-Man trilogy. And, you know, we're talking about Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Because, hey, we got a new Spider-Man movie coming out. It's a good time to sell DVDs. And also, I love this, the Dolph Lundgren epic Red Scorpion is out on Blu-ray this week. Yeah, that's right. Who's that star?
Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yes, that's right. Love that. Goodness gracious. By the way, produced by freaking Jack Abramoff. Yeah. No problems there. Where the hell was I talking about things? But in all seriousness, and while, yes, Meatballs is out on Blu-ray, and that's great. And Harold and Maude. Is that a Criterion edition of Harold and Maude? Yes, it is. Yeah, that's great, too. Wow, this is a really good week. You got a lot of good choices here. Heck, Even As Good As It Gets is out on Blu-ray. Sure. Nothing wrong there. Let's see. There are some things that I probably would not be checking out. The Ashley Judd TV series Missing, for example. You don't have to do that one. But honestly, the best thing on this list is a Criterion edition of the Charlie Chaplin movie, The Gold Rush. I hate to go all film snob and lame-o on you when you would probably rather watch Lethal Weapon 2, but The Gold Rush is a really, really fantastic movie. So if you have to pick one of them, that's the way that I go. But you know what? That's the beauty of the world that we live in, isn't it? You don't have to just pick one movie. Go ahead, get a couple. Maybe not so much on the Ghost Rider. That's okay. Maybe you want to pick something else. That's fine. If you want to get a Ghost Rider movie, wait till he starts hanging out with Spider-Man in a movie. Then you could do that, because that might actually happen. Anyway, as it turns out, I am out of time. I want to thank everybody out there for tuning into the program. I will be back again tomorrow night. With that, say goodnight, Dan Delgado. Good night, Dan Delgado.
Yamma, 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 yamma. Whoopie-doo, Scooby-Doo, and gobbledygook.
Word.